Human design is a part science, part spiritual system that tells you who you came here to be. You have your own blueprint, your own way of becoming successful, your own way your dreams are going to come true, the way you'll experience the most joy and fulfillment. The instruction manual for how to move through the world is custom to you. When you act according to that manual, when you act as the real you, everything in life comes to you with more ease and less resistance. We all know we're different, yet we're still acting like there's one way to do life. Let's talk about it. To find out your design and the designs of the people in your life, you can visit myhumandesign.com or download the My Human Design app in the App Store and on Google Play.
So for the listeners, whenever I think about something or have a flash of insight, I message it to Taylor any time of day or night if I think it's valuable, and then we decide to do something from it from there. So I was messaging you something over the weekend. I think it was in the middle of the night on Saturday night, and you replied in the morning saying, "This conversation is an emergency." What was it?
It was, there's a whole slew of messages from you, but the one that, to start it off, that stood out to me was, "We have been unable to be okay with not being completely homogenous in our functions as humans. So we try and come up with the mean, AKA the average, and universalize it." Just that piece, tell me what you mean by that.
All right, so it's weird being here on the planet, and we have this kind of deep awareness that kind of aches sometimes, because we know we're not just human. We know we're not just meat suits, and we feel this part of us that is actually, you know, from so far away from the divine, from God. But then we're trying to learn the rules of the material plane. And so we look outside of us and we go, okay, well, if I drop a ball, it's going to fall, right? And these rules of how this physical world works, to an extent, really help us feel safe here and feel like we know the lay of the land. But that principle of yesterday's medicine is tomorrow's poison has kind of a little bit applied with this addiction to trying to know everything to feel safe. Like, to an extent, it helps us out, but then when we overuse it and become addicted to it for a feeling of control, it backfires. And so what I feel like we've done, and I see it all over social media, and social media in itself is not the bad thing. It's just, when I look at social media, I see it as an amplifier of consciousness, where we're at right now. So it's such a good tool to help me kind of tap into like what we're thinking as a whole. And so when I look at social media right now, what's happening is a study done on this shows that if you have X, then it's probably because of Y, and Z, 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 Z. And it's playing a lot on our insecurities and our lack, and our anywhere that we don't feel fulfilled, you're going to be more susceptible to. You know, if you have a harder time with your ovulation phase than your menstruating phase, then it's probably because you have a parasite, or because something is off with your hormones. But if you can also tap into that kind of mystical, intuitive part of you, and I've, you know, listened to people who talk about this too, that if we were tribal as women, sometimes the women that were the caregivers, when we would all bleed at the same time and go off in our hearts and bleed together, there would need to be some women who were having an easy time of the menstruating so they could take care of everyone else who was menstruating. And their kind of challenging time or their rest time would be when they're ovulating, right? And so I'm not saying that everyone is having a hard time ovulating. I'm saying that we need to learn that no rule always applies to everyone in every situation. And instead of thinking that that's a problem, we should think about maybe there's a divine design behind the fact that we don't all fit in, because then we can come in and support each other and complement each other well in the fact that we don't all work the same way. So before being so easily swayed by someone else's study, someone else's facts presented confidently, we almost need to figure out if we think it's a problem first, because we have this deep belief that wherever we don't fit in is oh so wrong. But what if it's oh so right? And that period one is just one example, but I literally see it everywhere now, where people are preying on our insecurities of where we don't fit in. And really the journey inside is becoming so okay with the places where you stick out, and maybe trusting that it's not because you're faulty or doing anything wrong. It's that maybe there also might be, and it's worth exploring in yourself before you shop around for other people's opinions. Maybe there might be something behind this that the divine is actually asking you to double down on, rather than kind of deprogram yourself from and soften your edges so that you feel like other people are confirming to you that you're more right.
And you point out social media as being one of the places where we tend to get inundated with these potential ideas of like attaching to these ideas of like what might be wrong with us. And there's like an innocent motivation in that it's a beautiful way to get a lot of information out there, but the whole nature of how you create content is to kind of be a little bit shocking and be a little bit finding one little niche area that might capture someone's attention. And like, we have to be aware of that. That is the machine that we are living inside of. And we can't believe everything we see, which we know, but we are believing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other piece that I wanted to point out is you were saying that there's like this, we've talked about it in the new paradigm workshops and stuff that we have on the app, but we're going from a collective energy into an individual energy. And when you're in a collective energy, that concept of like trying to homogenize and standardize and create averages around our health, it did help us become like more understanding of our world. But as we move into individual energy, it is like we have to start feeling safe in a world that we're all different. Like homogenizing us helped us create structure and understanding of the humans, but we have to get comfortable with being different now.
Yeah. And that's really the thing, is that you have to accept that there are places where you fit in and there's places where you don't. So my friend, for example, you know, she said that she had less of a time coming up against judgment, certain judgments, because where she fit in was her energy levels, where she fits into society is she got married young, where she fits into whatever. So those are things you don't have to contend with. But everyone, so 70% of the time, you kind of, let's say, fit in. I'm just making that number up. It's a rough number, right? But everybody has about another 30%, another third of them, where they do stick out. And so you almost have to get to know the places where are easy no-brainers. You can kind of just listen to the average of what usually works for most people. And then you have to go on this like internal journey of being the only person who's going to give yourself that permission slip to explore the other edges, the places where you don't fit in. And you will be surprised at even the people who you look at, who you feel like they never have places where they stick out. They do, and you have no idea that you unlock that when you share your own journey of sticking out. And it's never going to match someone else's exactly, but it's going to be that liberation that we all need to say, the things that I think are so unacceptable about me and so ugly, if I explore them and don't try to dampen them and squash them out of my persona, maybe, and it's worth me risking this life, this one precious life that I have, to actually see if it does have gold in it. But it's just that my mind thinks there isn't gold in it. And okay, mind, I hear you. I know you're scared. But my soul, my heart is bigger than my mind. And everyone reaches that point where it's just intolerable to then embark on the experiment of, let me see if I don't fight the things that I think are so awful about me. Now, this obviously excludes times in your life when you're really struggling with, for example, a health issue, or you're really struggling to, you know, find your purpose, or really struggling in a relationship to create harmony. That's where solutions come in. But you want to be proactively you finding the solutions, not letting other people's solutions, i.e. their marketing, be the boss of you and prey on you where you are weak and swayable. You want to work on being unswayable inside until you decide that you need a solution. And this kind of brings me to another very important topic that I think is so pressing at the moment, which is that we are on this kind of spiritual and self-help carousel where if we don't go in being the boss of it, we are just going to go round and round and round and be spun and spun and spun and not get any results, but feel like we're doing so much because we're doing the trauma healing and we're doing the women's circles and we're doing the womb healing and we're doing and, but without knowing what we want to get out of it, knowing what we are trying to add to our lives or fix, right? If you're not clear, that intention is the thing that's going to steer the tool itself, because the tool itself doesn't have any inherent power outside of you putting your intention in it and your attention and your energy. These tools are all neutral. So it's you having to direct it with the consciousness that you direct it. And consciousness and spiritual knowledge are two separate things, because there are many people who have incredible consciousness but don't know anything about spirituality, right? And there's a lot of people who know all the spiritual wisdom, but they haven't changed their consciousness in it. So, you know, with all of the stuff that comes at you in the day, all of that is conditioning. What we want to do is we want to work on having that internal monitor that means, okay, I'm not just every time someone sends me a clip on Instagram or sends me an information thing or sends me their opinion, I don't want it to allow me to re-question my entire way of doing things. So I'll give you an example. On my family group chat, my dad sends me this sends me this study from Instagram because I'm notoriously not good on phone calls. And so he sends me the study saying, oh, well, a study found that, you know, when you text your mom, when women text their moms, their dopamine goes down. But when they spoke to their moms on the phone and heard their voices, their dopamine went up. And he kind of said it to kind of like, you know, wink, wink. And the thing is I know how to think things through for myself. And so I know that regardless of if that mostly works in a study, and by the way, all studies don't just happen for free. There's always someone paying for the study, right? So that's another thing to think about. But my scientific mind goes into, all right, well, how many people were in the study? What were those predispositions? And how might they be different from mine? So I know that when I text like extra loving, open text. Like I mush on people when I text. So is it comparing that to text when people are saying, love you, see you later, going to bed, whatever? Then sure, I can imagine that might make their dopamine go down. But I know that my dopamine goes up when I send text messages because I'm like, I feel so grateful to have all of you in my life. I can't imagine life without you, whatever. Whereas a phone call I always feel is interrupting me because I have a 2 in my profile, right? So I know that, you know, I, and anyone can check this on their design, but anyone who has a number two in their profile, their personality, we when we are in our kind of doing our thing in our unconscious process, someone phoning us or asking us something throws us out of that that flow. So knowing these things about myself, I can go, oh, I get how that actually could be true for a lot of people, but also I know it's not true for me. And you know, if I ran it through my filter and thought, actually, do you know what, I do get something when I speak to them more, so maybe I will, you know, try to call them more when I feel like calling them or whatever, then that would be fine, right? So it's always about, don't just take things in so porously. Run them through, like, is this true for me? Does this apply to me? Can I see myself benefiting from this? Or is the first thing that I feel when I hear this a spark of insecurity? And therefore, the solution is not to address the outside advice, but why do you feel the insecurity? And actually, that's where it's great to watch things on social media or hear other people recommend things to you or, to, you know, have your friends telling you what to do. Because you go, this wouldn't be making me feel insecure unless there was something inside me that already questioned this. Because if someone tells you something that you absolutely know is not true, they could give you all the studies and to the high hilt, convince you and get on their pedestal, but it wouldn't seep in because that's an area where you're already secure. So these places are revealing to you an insecurity that's already existing within. And so that's when you go, hold on, stop everything. Let me go do the most important thing, which is address the insecurity.
Well, two things come to mind for me. One of the common things that are like, it's like, oh, it's like unspiritual, it's unhealthy to like eat in front of the TV. And when you wrote the digestion section of the app, I have high sound digestion. And in there, I think you even say like, hot sound turns your brain on. Sound like prepares my body to digest food and information. And I've always naturally turned the TV on when I watch something or when I eat something. And of course I could, you know, see this stuff on Instagram and be like, oh my God, it's like so bad for me. It's unspiritual. I'm stimulating my brain, but it's like actually correct for me. Mm-hmm. And so releasing that just lets me settle into like my way of doing it. And the other thing too is even people who you trust and admire, Jenna being one of those people for me, she loves colonics, and she did an episode with Mike Perrine. If you want to hear it, it's truly one of my favorite health people to talk to because he's just so foundational in the way he talks about taking care of your body. So I love that conversation. Check that out. But you talk about colonics. And I remember a year ago, you had told me that you love them and you offered one of your colonic appointments to me. And I just knew in my body, it was not right for me at the time. Now, a year later, I'm on my own terms, interested in trying it out, but I've also been eating it more in a cleansed way over the past year. So like, who knows why I wasn't interested in it a year ago. And I'm now interested in it now. I'm not questioning that. All I know is that my own internal authority knows that it's something I'm interested in now.
Which is your spleen. And it just said, oh.
Yeah. Like exactly. It came up in the Mike episode and suddenly now this time around, I'm interested in it. But the one thing I want to pull out that you said that I love is being the boss. I don't know how you worded it, but you said like being the boss of your self-improvement earlier. You said that mm-hmm. It's like even in every area, being the boss. But I think that that's really scary for people. Mm-hmm. So how, like, because I think in my own experience, you can be the boss of your own existence knowing nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's actually better to start from knowing nothing and come at things as the boss and mm-hmm. like interviewing things that come into your aura, right?
Yeah, exactly. And everything is just an option that is doesn't have any power over you. It's not bigger, it's not stronger. And sometimes when we feel not so great and everything is presented in this like right and tight and shiny way, that's when it gets us, right? And that's the work there, is to remember in those moments, these are just tools. These are veils as well. We don't know what goes on behind these things. We never know the full story. We just see the end. And we take someone else's end as our beginning.
And you said,
go on.
You said too, because it goes into this in your text that you sent me, often the industry that told you there's a norm now gives you a solution to a problem that never existed. And the solution you apply is actually what throws you out of whack.
Yeah, exactly. So for example, going back to the period example, I think it's such an easy one to point out. You know, oh, there's a, if you, you know, have a shorter cycle, or if you, whatever, like it's because of this. And it might very well be, but if you were, and I'm not saying that all information is bad, but if you were blind to it and you genuinely didn't feel like there was a problem there and everything else was zippity and you were shiny and bright and felt great, and you read that in a time when you were susceptible, then what happens is you start to try to contort your own system to be more like, work more like everybody else's, and in doing so, that's what throws you off. So for example, and this is just coming to me now, I've forgotten about it completely, but when I was young, my periods were always so light. They were like 2.5-3 days and almost no bleeding. And my mom started to get worried, which is normal. You know, I'm 17, 18, and I had really bad acne. I've spoken about this before. And I tried everything, but people thought, we got to a place where we thought that maybe it's related to my short periods. So she takes me to this very expensive doctor who puts me on biodynamic, bionatural, whatever they're called, hormones. And I start putting this cream on all the time. And it's made of yam and, you know, the whole thing. And it's estrogen, progesterone cream and blah, blah, blah. It didn't help my skin at all. And the tool is not wrong itself, but it's only because we thought there was an issue that we did the cream. And I sometimes wonder now, what did that do to my body long term? What did antibiotics for my skin do to my gut? And how long did that take me to heal? Right? So there's so much that we don't know about the solutions that are provided that we have to take these things so seriously that we let them into our energetic body. We are in charge. We get this beautiful garden, this piece of the physical world that is our garden. It's our aura, our energetic body, our physical body that sits in that aura, right? All of which is inside our soul. And so we have to treat it like the most precious piece of garden that we can, because that's the one that we get to water and grow flowers on. And if we have a beautiful patch, then it encourages other people, and our soil, you know, enriches other people's patches that are next door to us. So everything that we do, we can't just like manically consume. We have to really think about, hold on a second, is this gently going to elevate my garden? And sometimes you need a sledgehammer, but most of the time we have to be so gentle and so precise and so porous and so intentional with this thing is very delicate. And there are long-term effects behind all these different things that we let in that we might not know. So before I let something in, do I really have a problem? And what part of me is not okay with it? Is it my body showing me there's an issue? Or is there maybe a mental, emotional component that I can address before that, that either might make the problem go away entirely, or at least will reduce or realign me to know that that's when a physical tool can come in and be a beautiful, helpful medicine to elevate me, which we do sometimes need, but let me get all the first bits in check. And that's where it really is about being the boss of your own. It's like, you know what? The divine put me in charge of this beautiful soul, and I need to treat it like it is the most precious asset, and I have a duty to look after it and take care of it and not use and abuse it as a tool that I, every time I feel lack or insecurity or not good enough, I feel like I'm gonna, how do I put this? Almost default to trying to fill that lack up by a physical means, and I will just maybe dampen or disrespect my physical self and my own life choices as a result to get that quick instant gratification of not being good enough or lacking something and feeling like that will just make it soothe and go away. It's almost like that will just pacify that feeling for now, when what we really need to do is address that feeling. And that feeling is not going to be solved on a physical level, because that feeling is existential. That feeling is always going to be connecting back to the light, to God, to yourself, to your own choices, to being the boss of your own life, to being led from your soul and being dare enough to go, it's coming from inside. It's never going to come from the outside. And that's scary as shit. Because I'm moving down the stream without the instruction manual, but that is exactly what I signed up for, is I signed up to go against the instruction manual. And when you go off script, that's where the magic that we all are craving is going to lie. And it's not this like big, massive step that you have to make. It's just that you and me talk about this all the time, is every time we go off script in the teeniest way, that's when the fulfillment comes. That's when you don't lack. That's when you feel the boss of your own life. But you don't feel the boss of your own life before you go off script. You have to go off script first in the tiniest, gentlest way that feels doable to you today. And then to see that it starts, oh, okay, this actually is a different mechanism that no one told me is available to me. And it works when I work it.
I think too, when people say like your body is intelligent, or like intuitive eating, those kinds of things, I think they're misunderstanding that phrase too, where we're like, oh, the body is intelligent, basically like, oh, if you eat something, you'll get bloated, and that your body's telling you that that's not good for you. But there's an added layer there of your energy body is intelligent. Your everything together is this the most intelligent piece of technology that could ever exist in the history of ever. Okay.
And we know nothing about it.
Like, we know nothing about it. So even us trying, like, it's so precious. It's so precious of us that we have experts in different areas, and it's absolutely helped us make more sense of this existence. But your own piece of technology is going to always be more intelligent for you than anyone outside of it.
And speaking of homogenizing, another thing that we do is we also think that trying to understand your own body is a homogenous experience, right? So going back to what you said about the colonics is, if your mind had taken charge when you said, I actually don't want it, your mind would have then spun stories about, they're
colonics
just not right for me. They're just not right for me. You maybe would have looked for information of why not to do it. You would have needed to outside validate, and you would Google why colonics are bad for you or whatever it is. Like, that's where the mind takes over. And then what you would have tried to do is make that the same choice for the rest of your life and automate it so you could feel in control. Whereas actually, because you didn't do that, now the spleen is telling you something different and you're totally okay with doing it in the moment. And again, that's so scary. It's so terrifying. But I guarantee you there's already a place, one place in anyone who's listening's life where they don't try to automate the principle or the rule for their life. And so try to look for the evidence of where you do feel self-certified, and then kind of like lean into that energy where you can get a little bit spicy or tough because you are protecting yourself and because you are going off script. And then use that, like, that's a place where you already do it. Like, tap into that fuel inside of you where you're like, no, I know that I can't wake up at 6 a.m. Or no, I know that I can't do ice baths. Or no, I know that, you know, these are all mine. You know, I know that retreats and spiritual, you know, gatherings and stuff, like, I don't do well with most of them, you know? So these are places where you can kind of like connect to where you're already self-certified and go, well, if I can do it in this one area, okay, I've built up evidence in my own life that I've done this, I can do it again. And right. Like you with the colonics, it's such a good example, because all the milk we've talked about one day when you felt like having, you know, you've drunk
cow
non-dairy
milk for a week. And then after that, I was done with it. It's just, it's actually so funny. I'm like laughing to myself that we think that that is a less intelligent approach to our life. Like, oh, we think that once we gather the facts and we've decided which experts we believe in, and then we decide, I don't think colonics are for me, that that's the more intelligent way. I don't like, when you laugh about it, it's like, it's actually more intelligent to take inventory of the version of you that is existing in reality in this exact moment.
Yeah. Exactly. That will is a picture of energy. It's an energetic snapshot that, again, for the illusion of holding the fact that you live a life in, you know, continuous space time, there needs to be some sort of homogeny, some sort of, okay, I'm me, I wake up, my hair color's the same, you know, 70% of the stuff stays the same, to hold the story together. Like, so you watch your life as a movie.
Right.
But, you know, if there's a day that I wake up and I don't feel like going to a colonic for some reason, I won't.
For it too, last week, I think, because I was with you last week, and this is something that you shared, I think, on your Instagram story too, where, you know, as projectors, we're always saying, like, you should only work 3 hours a day. Like, you got it. You can't push, 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 push. But there are times when you can do an energy read on yourself, where last week I was with you for 3 days and we went in for like 8 hours a day. Like, we literally were on our computers for like 8 hours a day and then just like passed out at night. Mm-hmm. And then we didn't even go for walks. Like, usually we at least go for a walk to have ease and have space in our day to think, but we didn't. We just knew that those 3 days were going to feel different than our normal work life. And we were completely okay with that. And that does not mean that we were out of alignment with being a projector.
Yeah, and the whole 2 to 3 hours a day, you know, I always try to clarify this because I know it's confusing, is that that is 2 to 3 hours of output a day, because projectors are always working, right? We're always analyzing, always thinking, always whatever. Our minds don't get a rest on that level, but in terms of like what we're physically then turning it into to put it out is ideally 2 to 3 hours a day, because of that proportion of input versus output, what you receive, what you take in, what you're like observing, and then what you're turning it into. If you're doing too much turning it into, you're not getting enough observing time. So what we did though, is that we on net, we kind of balanced it, right? Because then when you left, I had nothing. I had one other work thing on Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I specifically scheduled almost barely anything so that I could balance it out on a week rather than on a day basis with my observing time. And sure enough, I'm voice noting you, messaging you all times of the night on Friday and Saturday because I created that space. Is that ideal for me every week? No. But
and I literally sat in my house like all weekend after we spent those 3 days, because I need that too. I laid in bed horizontal all day Sunday.
Yeah.
And was mostly in bed all day Saturday too. And that's totally fine.
Yeah. And you know, I think there's a lot of, this is just like a slight segue, but I know there's a lot of guilt that people have. Whenever I do a Q&A, it comes up so much of, you know, resting, and I feel guilty for resting and all this kind of thing. But again, it's about where is the lack coming in, right? Because you and I know that we work hard to, and I hate even saying that sentence, it's just like, ugh, but we add value, and we know that we do things to serve people, that now resting is less of a place where we can start to feel insecure and lack that, oh my God, if we're resting, nothing's going to happen, because we already know that we're doing stuff, right? So it's almost like you have to show yourself your own strengths and prove them to yourself so that those lacks don't have as much of a hold on you. And that's such a basic one for projectors, and it's a basic one for everyone though, is that you're going to always feel like something's wrong with you when you're not witnessing your own strength. So we have to give ourselves that chance of witnessing our own strength, that no amount of sitting on your, you know, meditation pillow trying to connect to your worth, you're not, your brain is not going to believe it unless you actually do it the favor of going out and actually creating the evidence to disprove it with your own life. So, you know, whatever your insecurity is, it doesn't matter if it's rest or whatever, but get to know what your own biggest kind of weak points, where outside life can kind of hook you in and sway you and derail you and take you off into these crazy mental loops. Like, what are those things for us, each of us individually? And a lot of the times we don't know what those are, but that's kind of worrying, because that shows us that the ego is in control of us. Our mind, our inner opponent, is in charge of us, rather than us knowing and being so intimately familiar with its tricks that we know when it's coming and go, oh, there you are. I see you trying to get in. Hello, old friend. You know,
I was going to bring it actually to the inner opponent, because I was going to ask you, like, how do we, because I think, I don't think we've shared on the, we haven't shared at all on the podcast about the new feature that we just put in the app. I'll have you share a little bit about it in a second, but it is in some ways helping people become more in tune with how to approach the day-to-day questions about how to live their life in an aligned way, right? Was that kind of the intention of that How to Grow series that we just released?
So, and we really haven't spoken about it, but it's probably our most important work to date, I would say.
Right.
So where that came from was people who know their design, and then they go, now what? How do I get aligned? How do I live it? What are the tools that I need to put in place? Like, how do I create my real self? And so there's so much spiritual knowledge and so much information out there. And again, it's kind of ego stroking, because it's just feeding your mind and giving you the illusion that if you just know more, you'll automatically be better. But I know with every bone in my body that it's the practical stuff that really changes things. It's the also changing your consciousness, the way that you see the picture. So you're not seeing it at the level of more information is going to solve me. It's I need to rise above the information. I need to rise above myself. I need to overcome something. You need to go up a level and see from a parapet. And from there, you can kind of pull everything else up to meet your spirit knowing different, your spirit connecting to a higher consciousness. So, and the problem to every solution in life is consciousness. And so this feature is so important to me because these are the things that you can apply to every single area, every single challenge, every single problem. It always comes back to the things that we have outlined in this How to Grow feature. And what we did was we outlined certain various general umbrella topics that go in a certain sequence of your becoming. And so the first five are out in the app already, and you can go listen to them. And really, the most important thing is to just, we are up against, as we've just spoken about in this whole episode, so much negative conditioning or so much information heavy conditioning that what about conditioning yourself with more positive things? What about planting in your ears and in your mind and your heart and your body and your spirit the truths that if they become so seeped in your cells every day, that starts to become a stronger voice in your head. And then you are more emboldened to live according to higher consciousness than to fish around in the level that we're at for just the next nugget of info that will solve our lives, right? Because that is outsourcing our power. And that will never get us to the place where we want to go. So the How to Grow feature is, I am so beyond passionate about it because every time I used to do a reading for someone, it would be like, okay, I know my design. Now, how do I change? That was 95% of the time. That was the end question. And so this is really the culmination of the actual mechanics behind human design, right? The machinations, the invisible threads of how actually from where you are, how do you move on? How do you get closer to being the self that you knew you came here to be, the person you dream of? And obviously having the life you dream of, but the life you dream of comes as a wonderful surprise and delight as a result of being your dream self and a person that you're proud of. And this is what we are doing with this feature. And something that I feel is so lacking is that this is how you do it. Let us walk you through. This is the thoughts and the perspective and the ideas to connect to that will get you moving from your inside, like that heart and that spirit, and trusting in your innate goodness and your ability to do it, rather than trying to instantly gratify from looking in the outside world, even if it's in self-help and spirituality. That is never going to be the solution.
And personally, I feel such a relief that these are finally going out into the world, because these concepts, these conversations that you've had with me over the past 3 years that I've worked with you, this feature basically started as a couple voice notes 2 years ago, sitting on a patio in conversation with you, me being like, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Explain to me how you're doing this. And like, it just culminated over multiple conversations over and over again, things that you've said to me, things that I've taken and actually applied to the micro moments of my life and watched my life transform, like watched the enjoyment and like juiciness that I pull from life now that I just didn't feel like I had access to before. And it's like, yes, I know my design and I know how to work with my strategy and authority, but it's this understanding of, like you said, the underneath mechanics of like, why does this work? And how do I day to day in the micro moments of my life grow myself? So I literally feel like a weight off of my chest knowing that this is finally getting out into the world, because I felt so selfish that I felt like these were conversations that only I was getting access to. And I remember I said to you like 2 years ago, I feel like we have to figure out a way to put these conversations in people's pockets. and it's happening now. So I'm really, really excited about it. And yeah, I've already told all my friends that it's on there, made everybody listen to it, because these concepts have like just measurably changed my life.
Mm.
And I appreciate that.
I feel exactly the same way, in the sense that life is so tough and so challenging for so many people right now. And we're all going through it. And I genuinely can say that I don't think I would be okay if I didn't see life this way. And so, you know, we all need to help each other in the ways that whatever we can. And it's just time that we realize that the solution is inside our own soul, our own divinity that is within us, that we just sometimes need reminding of, and that is the way, and that is all our way. And when we go there together, we head in the same direction, even if it starts to look different on each of us as human beings, energetically we're all holding hands through it, and we can all walk each other to our path of unique transformation. And then we create a different world where everyone is more differentiated. Human design is called the science of differentiation, i.e. how do you get unhomogenized from the such strict way that we're told to be? And as a humanity, then get to blossom into real, true expressions of what the divine is and can be on this physical plane. And that is an exciting world that I think all of us are very invested right now of living in, because the old way just is not working for us anymore. And we've kind of been brought to our knees so that we can get off our asses and change and be like, you know what? It's worth it.
It is. And to find this audio series, How to Grow, you essentially just go to the homepage of the app, scroll down. You've already participated in listening to some of our workshops. It's right below the workshops. You'll see it, How to Grow. There's these beautiful thumbnails that are like the night star sky. And you just start at the beginning and listen to it in a sequence. And there'll be more coming to this sequence too, as well.